Blog Talk Radio.
Let the summer we bless still with food. Me a running out of blessings are in the me a dead. Imagine cause I'm tossing out the cup of our love. What's to be?
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. Hey, I'm too blessed. I'm too blessed.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Vision. We have been studying trusting God in the midst of trouble. Trusting God in the midst of trouble. Our subtopic for tonight is use your spiritual authority. Use your spiritual authority. Let us pray. Father, Lord, I'm just so thankful to you for allowing us to be able to study together. I thank you for those that have tuned in to this message. I thank you, Lord God, because you truly love us and you care about us. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would truly bless your people. Lord, bless each and every one, oh God, that is praying, Lord God, and seeking your face and looking to you to help them and to guide them. Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to be able to break bread together on tonight. And I pray that you would truly help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to worship you with all of our hearts and all of our minds. And we bless you right now. And we say thanks to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Our study for tonight is use your spiritual authority, or I should say using your spiritual authority. We want to begin from Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, beginning at the 57th verse. Luke chapter 9, beginning at the 57th verse. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithsoever thou goest. Whithsoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nets, but the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home and at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And so we see, dear friend, that Jesus was speaking to his disciples and also to others who were interested in being disciples of his. And the Bible tells us in verse 57 that a man came and started telling Jesus that he would follow him wherever he went. Isn't it something that people will say that they will follow God wherever he leads until they find out where he really wants them to go? And when they find out where he really wants them to go and what he really wants them to do, sometimes people change their mind because they realize that the cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ is too great. Dear friend, it might seem as if it is too hard to serve God, but it's actually not. It might seem as if it's too challenging to serve God, but it's actually not. This man came to Jesus and he wanted to know if Jesus would allow him to follow him, because he said in verse 57, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus responded in verse 57, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. You see, Jesus did not come at that time to stay. He came with a purpose and a plan in mind. He came because he knew that he was on his way to Calvary and that he came specifically to shed his blood for us. And so he did not come to set up a house down here. He did not come to set up a natural kingdom down here, but he came to set up a spiritual kingdom for all those who would believe in him, for all those who would put their trust in him. Jesus came so that we might have life. And so when the man came and said, Jesus, I would like to follow you wherever you go, Jesus had to tell him that as a follower of Jesus, there might be times when you are in this city or you're in that city, but you might have a time in your life when you just have to travel and preach the gospel, and you might not be able to settle down in any one place because God is calling you to travel and to preach and to tell people about the kingdom of God. Verse 59 says, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. You see, people give all types of excuses about why they can't serve God now. Excuses about why they can't change their lives now. Excuses about why they can't do what God is calling them to do now. My friend, we have many excuses that we give to God. But isn't it wonderful that God never gives us an excuse when we call on him? Whenever we call on Jesus, he always answers. Whenever we seek him, we always find him. We might not answer when God calls us, but it is wonderful that God always listens, and he always answers when we call him. Jesus told the man, follow me, and he gave the Lord an excuse. My friend, what kind of excuse are you giving to God? What kind of excuse have we all given to God when he has given us specific instructions about what we should do with our lives, about how we should follow him and obey him? There are many times when he speaks directly to us and tells us exactly what we need to do, but we are too busy following our own desires and not recognizing that we must first seek God and ask him what is his will for our lives. You see, there is a cost of discipleship. Because we know that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, we recognize that we are in a spiritual warfare. And I want you to understand that to win the battle of warfare that has been set forth for us, we've got to be willing to spend time in prayer seeking God. We've got to be willing to spend time talking to God and asking him to direct us and asking him to help us. This man came to Jesus and Jesus spoke to him and said, follow me. And he said, I have to go bury the dead. Look at verse 60. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus was not saying that you can never participate in family gatherings. But what he was saying is that there is a time and a place for everything. And when God calls you to preach, you ought to go and preach. If God calls you to witness to someone, you ought to go and witness to them. If God calls you to go visit the widow or visit the sick and shut in, you have to be willing to do that and not make an excuse as to why you can't do it right now, as to why you can't be persistent in reaching out to someone in need. Look at verse 61. The Bible says, another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Now, why did Jesus say that? He said that because many times people start out and they're doing really well, but something gets their attention behind them and they start looking behind them, and before you know it, they have turned around and they have gone back to doing what they used to do. Jesus said, no one puts their hand to the plow and looks back. So in other words, once you begin to do something for God, don't turn back. Once you begin to do what God is calling you to do, don't turn back. It doesn't matter who is trying to get you to turn back. Don't turn back. Doesn't matter who is discouraging you from serving God or from being a Christian. Don't turn back. Don't allow the enemy of your soul to fight you in your mind. You know, it's not easy to resist the devil, but the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. I'm talking about spiritual authority tonight. You see, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trials, you've got to have spiritual authority. You've got to be able to know that the enemy is coming up against you, and you've got to be able to stand your ground in Jesus. You've got to recognize him as your rock. You've got to recognize him as your fortress. You've got to recognize that God is able to keep you from falling. But if you want to be kept from falling, you cannot keep looking back and speculating about things behind you. You see, sometimes people have regrets about what they did not do in the past and what they could have done better. And so they keep looking back. But if I were to follow what Jesus is saying today, what he's saying is, don't look back, my friend. There is nothing behind you that's worth going back for. But if you could just look ahead and look to your future and recognize that God has great things lined up for you and that what you're looking for is ahead of you, it's not behind you. I'll say it one more time. Friend, what you're looking for is ahead of you. It's not behind you. And so you don't have to keep looking back. You don't have to keep having regrets about this or that. Whatever is behind you, it's done. It's past. It's over. It's over. I'll say it one more time. It's over. You don't have to worry about going back to what you used to be, what you used to do. But recognize that God has ordained it for such a time as this, for such a season of this, for you to walk into your next level in God, for you to walk into authority in God. In other words, he has given you authority over the enemy. He has given you authority over sickness. He has given you authority over demonic influence. In other words, demonic influence will come against your mind, come against your body, but you have the authority to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. You have the authority to stand up and allow God to strengthen you in the inner man. You have that authority to stand on the word of God. You have that authority to rebuke things that come to oppress your mind in the name of Jesus. Amen. Look at Luke chapter 10, beginning at the first verse. The Bible says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city, and place whither he himself would come. Now, I want you to understand, friend, that the Mormons were not the first to send people out two by two. If you've ever seen those young men out on their bicycles with their white shirts and their ties, those are young Mormons that are sent out to evangelize. But the Mormons were not the first to do that. Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. And as you know, as a Bible scholar, initially there were only 12 disciples and many followers. So there were many people that followed Jesus around, but the ones who he called his disciples were only 12. But as you can see in Luke chapter 10, Jesus also acquired more because he already had a bunch of stragglers following him around. So he went ahead and commissioned 70, that's 70, 70 more men and sent them out and told them to do the same thing that his other disciples were doing, which is to go out and preach. Go out and preach. The Bible says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that ye would send forth laborers into his harvest. For he said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Now, I can attest to this. I can testify about this, that having been in ministry a long time, it is very, very true that there are so many souls out there, so many lives that need to be changed, but so few people that actually are willing to go and do the work. There are so many lives that still need to be changed. You know, I've seen some of those shows on Trinity Broadcasting Network and other networks where Trinity especially sent interviewers out into places like New York and other big cities and questioned people on the street and asked them what they believed about Jesus and do they understand about Jesus, and asked them questions about lying or stealing or what have you, and did they believe that they would go to hell and what have you. And it seems that more and more of this generation actually don't believe in hell, actually don't understand about Jesus, actually don't even know who he is. You see, although we have all of this telecommunications and the electronics with the computers and what have you, it still appears that there are many out there that truly do not understand who Jesus is. And so they outnumber the actual laborers that there are in the field. We need more laborers in the field. We need more people telling others about Jesus. You know, whether you're handing out bread or handing out rice, you can tell someone about Jesus while you're feeding them. You can tell them that God loves them while you're feeding them. There is something for everyone to do in the kingdom. I want to encourage you, friend, if you have not started to help others and to pray with others and to encourage others and to tell others about Jesus, I want to encourage you to make this your time that you are building up yourself in Jesus and also taking that authority in the Spirit. Use your spiritual authority to speak life over people, to cast out demons, to pray for the sick and have them recover. You have authority in Jesus Christ, and you can do what God is calling you to do. Look at verse 3. It says, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Isn't it so true? You know, there's another scripture that refers to the fact that the children of the world are so much wiser than the children of God. You know, it just appears that they are just so cunning in the things that they do. And Jesus tells us that he's sending us as lambs among wolves. So in other words, our spirit is so humble and we're so kind that there are going to be times when people might step on us, you know, to, for lack of a better word, they might misuse us. But the bottom line is, don't worry about what man should try to do unto you. Don't worry about their faces, but still tell them about Jesus. Verse 4 says, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And in whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And so at this particular time, when Jesus sent them forth, he did not send them with much. All they had was the word of God. All they had was this message about Jesus, the Messiah. And he said, don't worry about shoes or clothing or anything. Just go. You know, it is interesting that this was said so many years ago, and we are still being reminded over and over and over again today. Don't worry, my friend. Stand up in your spiritual authority. Don't worry about what you should eat or what you should wear. Don't worry about any of that, because God has already provided for you. You know, John 14 said, let not your heart be troubled. And I want to encourage you today to not allow your heart to be troubled. And for Jesus said that wherever they go, the first thing that they should say to people is peace. Peace be to this house. So in other words, it is okay to worship house to house, because Jesus first started ministering not only in the synagogue, but also in houses. He sent his disciples to minister in houses. Verse 6 says, and if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. So people don't know that when a man or woman of God comes to their house and speaks peace over their house, that that peace is due to that man or God being welcome into that house. And if they refuse to accept that message of salvation through Jesus Christ that that messenger is bringing, then when they leave, that peace leaves with them. That's a very interesting thing. Verse 6 says, or verse 7 actually, in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. So if you go to a house and they receive you, stay there, because it is God's will that you should stay and bless that one house that is receiving you. Look at verse 9. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So, what were the disciples commanded to do? Go out. Don't worry about what they had to eat or drink. Don't worry about people being kind to them. Because if people are kind to them, then the peace of God will be with them. And that peace will not return back unto them. And the Bible says, also, while they were there, they were to heal the sick. Is it biblical to pray for the sick and have them be healed? Yes. The Bible clearly says, pray for the sick. That's what Jesus said before he left. Pray for the sick. And matter of fact, in this particular instance, he didn't even say pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick. So in other words, do the same work that Jesus did while he was here on earth. He healed the sick. He calmed the sea. Those things that Jesus did, friend, we are able to do also. Look at verse 10. It says, but into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth me, and he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. And so Jesus began to speak to those cities that were living corrupt lives. There were several cities that the people were not doing the right thing. They were still worshiping in a way that they should not have been worshiping. They were not worshiping Jesus. They were not interested in Jesus, still offering all kinds of sacrifices to idols and what have you. And Jesus warned them that if they did not change their ways, that they were going to be looking forward to hell. And Jesus, although today we sugarcoat everything, Jesus was very plain. He was very blatant when it came to telling people about heaven and hell. He did not skirt around it. He did not walk around it. He did not pretend that hell was just this pretty little place. But he talked about it sincerely. Why? Because hell is a real place, just like heaven is a real place. And for those who serve God, they will be rewarded. They will go to a place called heaven, where the streets are paved with gold. But for those who disobey the commandments of God, they will go to a place that was not prepared for human beings. It's called hell. It was actually prepared for Satan and his demonic forces. But because we disobeyed God, it is also a place that has made herself ready for humans. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Using your spiritual authority. Jesus sent them out and said, do it. They went out. They didn't doubt. They didn't question him. They went out and they did it. And they came back joyfully saying, when we use your name, Jesus, even the devils are subject unto us. So in the name of Jesus, we can cast out devils. In the name of Jesus, people can be healed and delivered. In the name of Jesus, by his authority, we can do great things. Look at verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Wow. So Jesus gave us authority before he left to step on the enemy's head, and he said, nothing can harm us. As long as we put our trust in God, no devil in hell can come against us. We must understand that God has given us authority over the things of the enemy, over oppressive spirits, over things that will try to take over your home and hinder praise and hinder worship in your home. Understand this, dear friend, that God has already given you authority over that. Verse 19 clearly says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And so the serpents and the scorpions, they represent the evil things of the enemy that he has set up to try to rob you of your joy, to try to rob you of your peace. The things that he has set up to try to discourage you, they are there. But you will not be discouraged because God has already said in his word that he would never leave you nor forsake you. Look at verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, I want you to pay attention to that. Jesus said, don't rejoice that the devils are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Why did he have to say this? He had to say it because we as humans tend to boast in our own works. We tend to boast about a little thing that God uses us to do. And he was trying to tell them, don't boast about what you can do on this earth, but boast about the fact that your name is already written in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Your name is already written in heaven, dear friend. The moment you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, the Bible says that you are saved. Your name is already written in the book in heaven. And so you don't have to worry. You don't have to stress yourself. Use your spiritual authority. Pray in the Spirit. Walk with God each and every day. Thank him in the morning. Thank him in the afternoon. Thank him in the evening. Thank him in the midnight hour. And when you wake up in the morning, start it all over again. Worship the Lord. Serve him. Honor him. Because God has called us to do that. To step on the enemy's head and to walk in authority. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spiritual subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And verse 21, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. So some things that even people who have been Christians for a long time, they might not understand it, but newborn Christians, oh, they understand a whole lot. You know, they might not understand, you know, scriptures, you know, because they haven't had a chance to read the whole Bible yet. So they might not understand some of the things that we understand according to scriptural doctrine, but their hearts are just so open to the things of God. You know, I remember when I just got saved, seeing saved or what we call becoming a Christian. I remember seeing lots of visions in those early days. It would be like every time I closed my eyes, I would just see myself in the clouds and see visions of angels and what have you. Being a newborn babe is a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing. And Jesus emphasizes it when he says that the things that need to be revealed, people who have been around for a while cannot understand it, but newborn babes can. Look at verse 22. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And so Jesus was trying to explain to them that everything is delivered to God in heaven, and no one knows who Jesus really is except for his Father in heaven, because God knows his Son, and he and the Son are one. Look at verse 23, and he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. So there are many things that God would speak unto the world, but only a few people truly grasp what he's trying to say to us. And so don't worry, dear friend, if you are in the minority. Don't worry if everyone doesn't believe the Bible the way that you believe it or understand it the way that you understand it. Because sometimes people have been in religion so long or in church so long that they become complacent in their prayer life. They become complacent in seeking God. And so something that a newborn Christian understands, this person might not even be able to understand. And so I want to encourage you, dear friend, that whenever you get discouraged, whenever you don't understand something, just seek the face of the Lord, because the Lord said that you should use that spiritual authority. Even though it was not stated in those specific words, that's in substance what he was saying. Because in verse 20 he says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. No, let me go back to verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That's spiritual authority. Spiritual authority. Because we must learn how to do warfare against the enemy. Now, this book by Vito Rallo, Breaking Generational Curses and Pulling Down Strongholds, I referred to it before. And the Bible, the Webster's Dictionary defined authority as the power or right to give commands, to take action, power of influence resulting from knowledge. So we have the knowledge of Jesus, and now we are putting that knowledge into action. We're actually understanding that Jesus told us to go out and pray for the sick. Jesus told us to go out and feed the hungry. Jesus told us to go out and visit the widows. Jesus told us to go out and visit those who are in prison. There are some things that he told us to do. And so in using our spiritual authority, what we're doing is saying, Lord, I submit myself to you so that you can use me. You see, because God cannot use you until you're willing to submit to his perfect will for your life. Amen. Amen. You've got to submit yourself completely to God and let him direct you and let him speak to your heart and let him do what he needs to do in your life. I'm going to stop teaching a little bit earlier tonight, but let me give you our closing scripture, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And our closing thoughts are, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There's no such thing as can. And what you believe, you can achieve. I want to encourage you, dear friend, to put your trust in God, to allow him to lead you and direct you. And most of all, use your spiritual authority. Your spiritual authority is in the name of Jesus. When you pray in the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. They have to run. They have to get away from you. So you want to pray in the name of Jesus and ask him to direct you, ask him to help you in your personal life, on the job, wherever you are, God is able to help you because he promised us that he would take care of us. He told us to not allow our hearts to be troubled, but to put our trust in him. So bow your heads with me. I would like to pray with you, and I pray that you have been inspired through this study and that you would also go back and study it yourself and understand that God wants you to live your best each and every day. He wants you to put him first and foremost in your life. He wants you to acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, confess your sins to him, and allow him to live in and through you. You know, Galatians 2 verse 20 said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Look up that scripture and study it and understand that the life that you now live, you live by faith because of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on Calvary to die for you so that you can have life. Dear friend, if it was only for you, he would have still gone to the cross. And so I want you to understand how much God loves you, how much he cares about you, how much he cares about your family, and understand this, that you are never, ever alone. Bow your heads and let us pray for you. Father, I just give you glory, honor, and praise. I bless your holy name. I thank you, Lord, for those that will hear this message. Pray that you would strengthen their hearts, strengthen them physically, O God, strengthen them mentally, O God, strengthen them emotionally, O God. And I pray for those around the world, whether they're listening from the north, east, west, or south, Lord God, whether they're over in Asia, Central America, in Europe, O God, wherever they are, way in the East Indies, Lord Jesus, Lord, in the African nations, God, wherever someone is listening from in the Caribbean, O God, does not matter where they're listening from, in the United States or abroad, Lord, I pray that you would touch hearts and minds right now. I pray for that family that needs shelter. I pray for that child that is hungry. Lord God, meet those needs, Lord God, even those here in the United States, God, sleeping on the bridges and sleeping on streets. God, I pray for those people that you'll remember them. Watch over them, God. Help them. I pray, Lord God, that you would help each and every one of us to recognize that we have spiritual authority over the enemy. Oh, God, that we can stand firm in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, that we can pray for the sick and see them healed. Lord, we pray right now for those who are sick. We pray that you would heal. I pray, Lord God, for miraculous healings, oh God. As people listen to this message, I pray that they will be miraculously healed. I pray that tumors would fall off, that cysts, oh God, would disappear. Oh God, that liver would be healed. Oh God. Lord, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus for supernatural healing. I pray for that one that will listen to this message with an enlarged heart. I pray, God, that that heart would be healed and go back to normal instantly. Oh God, I thank you, Lord God, for those who have HIV/AIDS, God, that they will be healed and delivered. Those who have the different forms of cancer, different tumors in the brain, God, and in the back, and Lord, in the uterus, God, we thank you for instantaneous healings in the name of Jesus, miraculous healings in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your touch right now. Encourage, strengthen your daughter, strengthen your son right now. We bless you right now, and we honor you. Oh, I thank you right now. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We bless God because God is truly good. He is wonderful. He is awesome. And we just give God praise. One of these days we shall fly away to a wonderful place called heaven. And I sure hope that you are ready to fly away to that wonderful place called heaven. I just want you to know that if God is calling you and speaking to your heart, don't put off for tomorrow what you can actually do today. There is a reading that is on programs at funerals sometime, and I just want to read it to you. It says, if tomorrow never comes, if I knew it would be the last time that I'd see you fall asleep, I would tuck you in more tightly and pray the Lord your soul to keep. If I knew it would be the last time that I'd see you walk out the door, I would give you a hug and kiss and call you back for just one more. If I knew it would be the last time I'd hear your voice lifted up in praise, I would tape each work and action and play them back throughout my days. If I knew it would be the last time, I would spare an extra minute or two to stop and say I love you instead of assuming you know I do. So just in case tomorrow never comes and today is all I get, I like to say how much I love you and I hope we never will forget. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone, young or old alike, and today may be the last chance you get to hold your loved one tight. So if you're waiting for tomorrow, why not do it today? For if tomorrow never comes, you'll surely regret the day. I want to encourage you, friend, that if God is calling you and speaking to your heart, do not put off for tomorrow what you can actually do today, because God is speaking right now and he is calling your name to let you know that he loves you, he cares about you. And if you're already a Christian, that means that he is speaking to your heart and telling you, go out and win someone else to Christ. Bring someone else to heaven with you, because God loves you very much. He cares about you, and he wants to see you make it into the kingdom yourself and also bring someone else with you. I want you to know that the Lord loves you. He cares about you. And you will hear me say it over and over and over again, because life is not over. Listen to one more song. This one is entitled Life Ain't Over. And the music that you're hearing is Second Chance Ministries out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Brother Pierre, it's celebration time again. And indeed, it's going to be a glorious time again. Sing all night. You might do this thing since he was a boy, so nobody take it in my life. I next up is this to the mowat. Put the mic and you can't keep quiet. The people next door are going to call the police because they think they're in a riot. Let's be out there, real class. She had the queen and she don't cry last. She feel the Holy Ghost like a rock and that. She report all the flow to your ass.
When we get mad, 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 like the chick. Why we the devil any time we no picky? I'm one thing we know when they pass through the city, we're going to party without any pity.
Among those who are celebrating up there, there's another song that says, I will praise you. I will praise you.
Thank you. be a put on go praise him. Not eating on my multitude. Don't have to praise him. We should praise God when we weak and we should praise him when we strong. We must praise him in our dance and lift him up in our song. Give him glory in our character as his name in our weapon. We can do it when we dead, so we have to do it while we can. So I will praise you in all of my heart.
For studying with me tonight. I pray that you and your family will be blessed. Have a very good evening as we go out with Second Chance Ministries. Too blessed to be stressed. I want you to know that if you are interested in acquiring any of these CDs, you can contact me and I will give you the information to get in touch with this group. God bless you and have a very, very blessed evening, and may your family be blessed. May the peace of God be with you, and do your best to surrender and submit your life to the Lord and to walk in your spiritual authority.
Ah! Me say some of we blessed till we fool. Me a funny girl say blessings are ready for. Me a say
blessed.
Me a drink out of glass and glass cup and rub. What does it mean?
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
Hey! Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In my life, a pure peace and happiness. In my face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so not that me I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the anointed. I'm the anointed to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. Hey, I'm too blessed to be blessed.
Too anointed to be disappointed.
I'm too blessed. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes later and the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Jamaican
food in a Dutch pot.
I'm from the nose, and it every day I touch pot. Tell Satan to get back. And I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be disappointed. Jesus, yes, him can solve them
one by one.
We back and expose them. So when Satan a moving at your own, we not to worry, cause we know how to get him out.
Bring the blood of Jesus
Christ out of your mouth. And the one Satan him a forget out. So son, you're not living your life in the darkness, and your life is filled with happiness. And from the north, the devil can't touch this. Everybody come sing this. Say I'm too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed.
Bless, 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 bless,